Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And then he says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Dear friends of Christ, I know you've seen poverty before, the homeless, people carrying bags or pushing a shopping cart. Really, they have nothing. The things that they do have are a few changes of clothes and maybe a few things. Well, Jesus was extremely poor. We don't think about that very often, that Jesus had no possessions. He had no home. He had no house, even no money. Even Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Nothing. He possessed nothing. And we complain. We complain about the things that we have or don't have, but Jesus understood poverty. He understood having nothing, and he felt bad for the people who had nothing but wanted something. He had compassion on them. He understood them. In the parable of the laborers for the vineyard, we might think Jesus is teaching us a lesson on how to care for the poor, because that's kind of what it sounds like. Sounds like the vineyard owner is being gracious to the people who don't have much money. And indeed he is, but this parable isn't about forgiveness, about taking care of the poor. At first glance, it might seem that way, equal pay for unequal work. It might seem that this parable is teaching us about the virtues of socialism versus the virtue of competitive capitalism. And if you think about it, if you could, according to the parable, get paid a full day's work, after only working 1 hour, when would you show up to work? You show up to work with only 1 hour left. That's what we would do. We'd all take advantage of that, right? And with that, of course, no work would ever get done. This is not what Jesus is teaching us. Obviously, if we showed up early and stayed late, that would be a full day's work, but we would all go to the easy payment plan. We'd all default there. Eventually, because what's Jesus trying to teach us this morning? Is he trying to teach us that nobody's going to do 10 times the work for the same amount of money? It's just not fair. So today, instead, we learn about the economy of God's grace. The economy of grace. It's gracious. God is good. God is fair. God is just. And he's generous. But God isn't always fair when it comes to his generosity. That's what we learn in the parable. And grace literally is just that. Grace literally means love that is not fair. It's love that's undeserved. His generosity is so great, it's not fair. It's not right. We should not have that grace of God. None of us. None of us deserve it. The law is not generous, though. The law is fair, the law is right, the law is good, the law is even holy, but the law is not generous. If God were to deal with us according to the law, those who came in first would end out first, those who came in last would end out last, and those last people would deserve what they get. And the bad thing is, none of us are perfect. None of us finish first. In fact, we all finish last. Dead last. But God is gracious with his love. And that's why the last will be first. That's our theme. If God were to think the way we think, with his economy of grace, in the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of faith, then we'd give the kingdom to those who earn it. I mean, look out and say, yeah, you're pretty good, you're not so good, yeah, first, second, third, you're number five. And if God would start listing us according to where we placed ourselves, that's how we think. That's what God ought to do. And where are you in the pecking order according to human nature, according to human wisdom? You might even be far down the list on your own analysis of how things fit. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom is a kingdom of faith. If you believe, you're saved. And if you're saved, you have an inheritance. And that inheritance is great. The kingdom of heaven is for all who believe, who are saved by the same blood, by the same Jesus. But you can't earn heaven. You can't get into heaven by finishing first. In God's kingdom, the proud people who think they're first in line, the proud people who think that God ought to pat them on the back, the proud people who stand up before God and say, "Oh, God, I think I deserve to be here." No, they're last. They're the last. But what about all those who humbly bow before God with their sin and say, "Lord, I don't deserve to be here. Lord, I'm last. I'm the worst of all sinners." God lifts them up. He washes them. He cleanses them with His blood. He puts them at the front of the line and He says, "You're first." But I'm getting ahead of ourselves. Let's get to the parable. A man had a vineyard and needed workers. So he went out at 6 a.m. in the morning as the sun was rising, and he found workers to work in his vineyard and set up a contract with them. He negotiated with the workers, "I'll pay you a denarius," which in our money would be about $120. Not bad for a day's work, especially just picking grapes. So, and they all agreed. "It's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'll work 12 hours, and you're going to pay me $120. And so that's what happened. About 9 a.m. in the morning, he went out again. The work wasn't getting done. There were many grapes to be picked, so he went and found more workers. Again, he did it at noon, and again, he did it at 3, still shorthanded. And he told the workers, he said, "You go in the vineyard, and you work too, and whatever's right, I'll give you." Now again, notice he didn't say, "Whatever is fair." He said, "Whatever's right. I'm going to give you what I think is right." And then about 3 in the afternoon, more workers. 5 in the afternoon, 1 hour before 6, he goes out and he finds still people sitting around. And he says, "What are you doing?" "Well, no one's hired us." So he hires them, and of course, they go to work for 1 hour. And notice he doesn't negotiate with them. Just says, "You go into the vineyard." Finally, it's time to quit, time to get paid. The owner lines everybody up with the foreman, puts them in reverse order. Those who have worked the least amount of time get paid first. The first person in line, one of the idle people who had been sitting around all day doing nothing, opened their envelope. Surprise. There's $120. $120 for a full day's work. That's $120 an hour. Pretty good deal. And of course, everybody knows as that guy opened up, $120 for an hour of work. Woo! And he's making a big deal, and everybody's starting to pay attention, and they're thinking, "Wow, $120 an hour." Right? The people at the back of the line, they've been working 12 hours. That's $1,440. That's a good payday. That's the best payday that ever, that great picking guy ever got. $1,400. And he gets up there, opens up their envelope. $120. You can imagine their disappointment. I mean, those people who sat under the sun, who sweat, did all the work. Now we're talking figurative language. The vineyard's the church. It's the people who have been in the church their whole lives, working hard, working hard, working hard, working hard. And somebody swoops in at the end and on their deathbed said, "I believe in Jesus." And they get the same promise. And our grumbling, sinful hearts complain. "It's not fair. I've been working all day. I'm the one that built this church. Things wouldn't have happened without me, without my help, without my assistance, without my money, without my leadership." And we think that, you know, as we go to heaven, we all ought to deserve the same reward, or I ought to get a better one because I've been working at it longer. And the economy of But Jesus isn't talking about the economy of commerce here. He's talking about the economy of grace, the economy of his love, the economy of his generosity. And Jesus says, it's my kingdom. It's my church. And if I want to reward a person who's come at the last minute, knowing what they've borne throughout their lives, let me have the grace, the love, to love them the same as I've loved you. And so it is in the church. Let's say you've been a believer your whole life, and of course, you've been baptized. That's the way most of us are. We were baptized into the church, and we've been working in the church. We checked in early, we've never checked out. And again, we think we paid our Christian dues. We've tithed, we've served, we've obeyed. We've done the things that God expected us to do. And there should be a pecking order of those who are better and those who work harder. So that we're motivated then to do something, right? Because if there's competition, the better people get a better reward. That's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. Heaven is great for everyone. It's the perfect place for everyone. Even that person who comes to salvation on his deathbed, on his last breath, says in full confidence, I believe in Jesus, and gives his heart to the Lord in humility, bows before the Lord, take my sins. I don't deserve to stand before you. And he pleads, and God takes the last and puts him first. Gives him a reward. And we can't begrudge that. The same reward, the same eternal life, the same eternal paradise, the same perfect life with a new perfect body. And that day when Jesus comes again, he'll give us perfect bodies and put us on the new earth. And that the people like that will be there. And it's good. And it's right. Because God is gracious and just and generous. And this is a difficult lesson for religious superstars. Because these religious superstars don't always like the fact that God rewards sinners. God justifies sinners. He declares them sinless through the blood of His Son Jesus. And through the powerful blood of Jesus, God takes deadbeats into His family, homeless into His family, and He adopts them as His children. And when the final whistle blows, in that final day of our labor, when Jesus Christ returns again, salvation will be ours. But our salvation will not be based on our works. Won't be based on what we've done. Our salvation will not depend on how long we believed, or how much we gave, or how many boards we served on, or how many people we loved or didn't love. It's based on the same blood, the same price that was paid. And our reward's the same. Paul said it best. By grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not the result of works. God is going to give us our reward. It's going to be the same. For all who believe in the economy of grace, whether a lifelong Lutheran or a deathbed convert. Now, according to our sinful nature, you might think that's unfair. And you might think a day's wages for a day's work, fair. But according to God's economy of grace, we all get the same thing. We all deserve the same thing. In the economy of God's grace, God's kingdom is different. You know, the world, we look at things according to the law. According to the law, but God's kingdom is run by grace, different, and that's good. So I hope you understand all this. Our Old Testament lesson says it this way, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But if you want God to be fair, if you want God to deal with you according to the law, if you want the first to be first, and if you want the last to be last, this is the simple truth, your soul will be damned. You will be last. And you can look forward to an eternity separated from God. An eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's fair. Because that's what we all deserve. We're not obedient to God's commandments. None of us follow in His ways. None of us deserves to be in heaven. And hell is a fair reward. Hell is a fair payment. It's what we all deserve. And the people who want to be judged that way will get what they deserve because they put themselves first and God then puts them last. In their pride, they stand before God and He humbles them because they stand based on their own merit. They're wrong. We, the children of God, we plead before God, have mercy on us. We know what we deserve, but God gives us a gift. So where do you fit in this parable? Are you one of those people who was hired early, or one of those people who came into the church at the very end? Again, if you think about all that, you know, as most of us were baptized as babies, we've served the whole life in the church and never clocked out. But again, as we think, we're really not first in line. I mean, think of all the other Christians who've been in the church before us. Think about the saints. Think about St. Matthew and St. Paul, all the work that they did. They should be first in line. Think about all the saints, St. Jesus' mom, St. Mary, and John the Baptist's mom, St. Elizabeth. Think about how they served the Lord, how faithful they were. They should be first in line. Think about the great church fathers. You don't know them, but St. Polycarp and you've heard of St. Augustine. They should be first in line. Think about all the people who have lived before us. They were first in line. All those unnamed martyrs who died for the faith. They gave up their lives because they believed in Jesus Christ. But now in these last days, in the 11th hour, just before Christ returns, as the sun is setting, the fields are ripe for the harvest. God comes out and He calls you into His vineyard. Here at the very last. So much of the work of the church has already been done. Bible's been written, people have died. We're here, we're built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and all their work. And yet, mysteriously and even unfairly, God rewards you. God gifts you the same grace. Just like all the others. And He pays you not a denarius, not 120 bucks, but He pays you with the blood. The same Savior, the same Jesus, the same love, the same mercy, the same Jesus. Yet Paul writes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God is still looking for the deadbeats to call them into His family. And then He justifies deadbeats. He declares us sinless through the blood of His Son. And before you even lifted a finger to go work in His vineyard, God had chosen you. And He had written your name on an envelope. An envelope with your name on it. With your reward, as your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's why the Apostle Paul said this in our epistle as he was in prison. For me to live is Christ, and to die is great gain. Therefore, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And with one mind, striving side by side in the vineyard, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Yes, we're saved by grace, and we work for the Lord. This is His church. We're glad to be in it. Why? Because He saved us by grace, and we live for Christ because He first loved us. Therefore, we heed the words of Isaiah in our Old Testament lesson. I'll close with this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's still near. Return to the Lord that he may have compassion. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.